Whoop, whoop, whoop. Dingley, dingley, Eggman.
Welcome to the Super Cat.
Let me see with my imagination.
To the Tupacabra.
I don't understand the numbers.
Welcome to the one, the only Tupacast.
Welcome, everyone, to Tupacast, episode 8. Tonight, I'm super excited. We are going to talk about one of my favorite movies of all times, The Goonies. I have Mark Alley with me, and I have Kevin Zerbe. And as an added bonus, Kevin Zerbe has never seen The Goonies until just recently. So this is going to be really exciting for us to talk to somebody that didn't see it as a kid. So that's going to be fun. So, Mark, Kevin, how are you guys?
I'm doing really well. How are you two?
Doing wonderful.
I am great. I've got a bit of a sinus infection, so I probably sound kind of funny, but...
No funnier than normal.
That's what that's how you always
I didn't even notice. Well, I have a bit of news real quick. I'm going to try not to talk too much tonight because I could talk about Goonies for hours. But I wanted to update you guys. So the last episode I talked to you two was number 6, and I think it was Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned that I was going to be going to Branson, Missouri, and... Mark, you live up in Missouri. I was hoping that we would get to meet up, but my schedule, I didn't have enough time. But, so that was unfortunate. And
yeah,
in the
I was
podcast,
hoping I was going to get to see you, but...
We went to that camp, and mm-hmm. I didn't really know very much about it, but they had events planned every evening, and we got to leave. We left one afternoon to go see a show that Dolly Parton...
Mm-hmm. Big
her company. It was funny. I'll tell you, you sit in this big arena and it's basically kind of like the North versus the South, mm-hmm. but in like a friendly way, not like, you know, hostile or anything, but we were sitting on
no Civil War thing going on there.
I was like, oh, this could get awkward, you know, but, it was off, you know, I'm like, how serious are they going to take it up here? You know,
they're not going to like our flag we brought.
Yeah. Cause, we're from Texas.
Oh, that has been all over the place.
Yeah, we saw a couple trucks driving around flying flag.
Yep.
But so we were on, let's see, the North. Were they the gray?
No.
I can't remember. No. They're the blue.
Blue.
No.
Blue.
Okay.
Come on, man.
I get it mixed up because when I got there, I didn't know which one it was. And the couple that we went with told me, but he told me wrong. So I had it wrong in my head. And then when they took – so anyway. Okay, so we were with the gray – which is the South.
Very good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we were on the gray side, and the blue side is the opposite side of the arena. It's really huge. And my son's favorite color is blue. So they would constantly do, like, it was kind of like everything was a competition against the North and the South, and you would have to cheer for your team and all that stuff. But whenever they would cheer for the blue, my son would be cheering, and he'd be the only person on our side. You know, he'd raise his hands, he'd be screaming, mm-hmm. and it was so funny because then when it was our turn, he'd be booing, and I'm like, dude, it was really funny. But okay, so sorry to go too long on that, but
that was cute.
The Dixie Stampede is actually the site of my worst asthma attack I ever had in my entire life.
Really?
Yeah. Turns out I was allergic to horses and didn't know it. So yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. Wrong place to be.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty neat because when they started, they said that the dirt, I guess, in the arena isn't dirt. I guess it's sand because of all the dust that kicks up. Yeah. So it's like a sand combination or something. That's pretty cool, isn't it? But yeah, they had buffalo in there and horses and wagons and
wow. It's a pretty neat show.
It's really cool. They said this other couple they treated us and I was kind of like, you know, I've seen horses, you know, it's I live in Texas, so I've seen shows and I was kind of like I'd rather see you know, a magician or, you know, something out there.
Yeah.
But once we got there and saw all this. It was really neat. They had songs and they feed you, and it was actually really cool. It was fun.
Nice.
But on the way up and on the way back, actually, we drove through Fayetteville, Arkansas, mm-hmm. and that is where the Arcadia Retrocade is. I interviewed Vic Sage a couple months ago, and that's kind of where he works. And we got to go see, he was working. I didn't get to meet him, but I got to meet Shay Mathis, the owner. And we played arcade games. My kids had a blast. And apparently the first night when we went through, Rob O'Hara had been there like 2 hours before me.
Oh, man.
I saw that. I was like, Chris is coming through there. I know Rob was posting about coming through there. And I was like, and of course, I can't get down there this weekend. It's unfortunate. I could see Vic and Rob and you all the same place.
That would have been like crazy.
Yeah, it would have been really cool.
Oh, well. Yeah, because I got there and I messaged Vic and I said, I know you're probably working, but it looks like we're going to end up hitting the arcade. We got there like at 8:30 or something, you know, and because I wasn't sure with our schedule, but I said, yeah, it looks like we're going to be there. And he was working and he said, Rob's there. And I'm like, what? And he's like, he's there right now. So I walked all over the arcade. I couldn't find him. Uh-huh. I'm like, I don't see him. And then he's like, no, he left like 2 hours ago. I was like, oh, wow. It was a pretty interesting trip. I recorded a couple video games. I'm going to put the audio in here, so you'll have to listen to it. It's a pretty neat game. I can't remember what it's called. It's been 2 months, so I forgot. But it's really neat. You are activated. So anyway, yeah, so I just wanted to update you guys. Oh, one more thing. I forgot. The USS flag. So yes. we were talking about that store that my dad had went to, and it had the USS flag.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, the store is in Branson. It's called Dick's 5 and 10, mm-hmm. and it's sort of like a general store that's just full of everything. I mean, there's aisles of candy and knickknacks and souvenirs and just stuff hanging from the ceilings. It's just insane. But at the like on the top of a lot of the shelves, they'll have old stuff just on display, like old photographs, old houseware utensils, stuff like that's from like the early 1900s and stuff. Huh? And so that's where my dad had taken that picture of the flag, I don't know, whatever it was, 5 years ago. So we got there Saturday morning, right before we had to go to the camp, and we walked around, and we were in there for like 30 minutes. And I was just, all I did was walk around looking for that flag. And I couldn't find it. And the place is packed. Everybody's looking at the goods. I'm looking at the ceiling, mm-hmm. like what's that guy doing? But I couldn't find it. And I found a lady that worked there, and she had no idea what I was talking about. She said, well, here's the owner right here. He probably knows. So I went over to him, but he was talking to a lawyer or something. And they wouldn't stop talking. And so we had to leave. So
oh, no.
I couldn't find it. I was pretty frustrated, but maybe I thought maybe
butt in.
Yeah, so, that's frustrating. I just don't know how you could have worked next to the USS flag and not known about it. I mean, that's crazy.
I mean,
what kind of worker is this? You got to be informed.
Your stock. Exactly. But when we got to the camp, I got on their Facebook page and I messaged them. And I said, hey, I was just there. My dad saw this flag. You still have it? Whatever. And a couple days later, somebody from the store said, yeah, it's still there. I saw it a couple weeks ago. Next time you're there, ask somebody that works there. And I'm like, that's what I did.
Yeah.
They didn't help.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
What a great idea.
Yeah, really. I didn't think of that. But when we left camp, we drove back through town. And we had a little, we had like an hour to kill. And I'm like, let's run back in there because we needed to get, like, we like to get magnets as souvenirs for people. Mm-hmm. So we ran back in there and I'm like, okay, I got to find it. So I walked around. I couldn't find it. So I grabbed a younger guy and I said, dude, you know anything about this USS flag? And he's like, what's that? I'm like, come on. Like, are you serious?
This is, like, this is his dream you're talking about.
Did you, I'm like,
did you have like, guys, the lapels or did you, what were you doing?
I was like, I drove all the way from Texas to find this freaking toy.
All the way from Texas? Where's the U.S. flag?
Show me! Show me now! And he's like, yeah, I don't know. I've only been here like 3 weeks. And I'm like, dude, you should have found that like your first day.
Yeah.
Like, you know
what
I mean?
It's a 6-foot-long aircraft carrier. Like, how can you not see it?
Exactly. I'm like, what is going on here? So I walked around, and then I found it. And I saw it, and I'm like, oh, that's – I can't believe I missed it all these times. It's right there. Mm-hmm. And then –
congratulations.
And that guy walked by, and he's looking at me. I'm like, dude, it's right there. Check it out. And he's like, oh, very that's helpful. Cool. That's cool. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty neat, right?
Was it for sale, or was it just in a case not to be sold?
No, it was just up there as part of – it's just a display. I don't even know if it's the toys in the box, but
– wow.
It was like on the section of stuff that's – you know, not for sale, but did yeah, you, I found it. It took me 2 trips.
Did you take a selfie with it or anything like that?
No, I took a picture of it, but it was too high up.
Yeah.
I bet the box alone is worth a couple hundred dollars.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I was running through the store. I found it.
Yeah. It's like the golden ticket in Willy Wonka.
Yeah, exactly. Through the town. I found it. It took me a week and 2 trips, but I found it.
Congratulations.
So anyway, yeah. Just share that with y'all. That was pretty
That's
cool.
Awesome.
Great story.
Pretty neat. Yeah, people thought I was nuts. He's like, oh yeah, that's cool. It's a boat. I'm like, dude, it's not a boat. It's a dream.
It's a national right. treasure.
It is. It's the USS Grail. Flag.
I'm like, look at it.
Love it.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Stand here and bask in the glory of the flag.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't walk away. Security. All right, guys. Icebreaker time.
It's time for the icebreaker.
What is something you didn't understand about the world when you were a kid? I'm going to let Mark start because he's got an answer and I don't.
Very good. Okay, so I really had to think about this one. And, you know, I was thinking, well, you know, the meanings of words maybe or things like that. And then I got to really thinking about it. And I figured, I think when I was a kid, and especially when I like first started listening to like the pop music on the radio, you know, okay. especially, I didn't really know what the songs were about. I mean, I didn't even listen to lyrics really, or even, I know that sounds strange that I would know kind of what the song's title was. I could maybe sing the chorus, but I had no clue what was – I just didn't pay attention to anything right. else of the songs. And that's kind of been – that's just kind of how I am. I'm more about like the actual – the harmonies, the melodies, whatever, the actual music part than I am the meaning of the words themselves, which I know is a heretical thing to say. And
I'm the whatever. Same way.
No, yeah, definitely.
That's just what the way I'm wired or whatever. So when I got a little older – after I'd listen to songs growing up, I'd be like, every single song is, it's like always about sex, isn't it? It really is. It's always about that. And so I think of like all these songs that I know that when I was like 9, 10, 11 years old, running around the house, I was singing these songs and they're all about, like, you know, they're about things that a 10-year-old should not be singing about, you know?
Right.
So
right.
I just started
about sex, baby.
Yeah, exactly. And, so I just got to thinking about like just some off the top of my head, like Frankie Goes to Hollywood, right? We all know this song, Relax. Okay, yeah. I know I sang that song forever and did not realize that it's – I mean, literally, it's just about sex. That's it. There's no deeper meaning. There's no anything else, right? How about Obsession by Animotion?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're my obsession.
Oh.
What do I have to do to make you sleep with me? I had no clue. No clue what that meant. For all I knew, they were having a sleepover, you know, in their PJs and their sleeping bags. Yeah, that's all I was thinking about. How about the Love Shack by the B-52s?
Oh, I hate that song.
Well, you know, I mean, it's catchy, right? And when you're 12, you don't know any better.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
So it's a place where you literally just go to hook up, and that's what this is all about? Really? Mm-hmm. That's okay.
It's and a pretty neat place, too, where you can get together.
I've heard that,
Yeah.
You know, Little Red Corvette is totally all about, you know, all of Prince's songs.
I
used to really like, I mean, yeah, I love When Doves Cry.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, that one is like seriously about it, right? It even talks about animals striking curious poses. I'm not sure exactly what that means even still, but I'm kind of scared about it now. Okay, so this is the funny story about all this, though, because as if that wasn't enough, but my wife and – okay, I have to go back in time to tell you some things. So when I was young, I had an aunt who was about 7 years older than me. So she was more like a big sister than like an aunt. And she was all – I would always go over to her house, my grandma and grandpa's, and we'd like – she had records, right? So we'd listen to music while we were there, and then – she just always kind of like bought stuff for me when she got a job. She was just really cool. Okay. And mm-hmm. she, 1 year for my birthday, she gave me the soundtrack to Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Okay.
Which is a really good soundtrack. Yeah, it's got, you know, it's got some really good songs on it. And I wore that tape out. I mean, I did. And I noticed that she had, on like, you know, they used to have the cassette where you unfold it and it's got like all the song, you know, the lyrics and all the, you know, all the credits and all that. And there was this one section that was blacked out, like with marker. And I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. And I looked on the tape, and the tape on one side had a black marker over one of the songs. And on the tape itself, that part was blank. And I never really thought much about it. Right. So, and, you know, this and kind of to kind of give you a little perspective for that, like she also had would have like James Bond. She had like one of the James Bond records, like the I can't remember which James Bond it is, but it's a famous poster because it's got James Bond like kind of in the background. And there's a woman standing. Her two legs are framing James Bond. Right. I don't, you know. OK, well, she had drawn on like a mini skirt on this the girl.
Oh, okay.
It's really, she was just wearing like a bikini or whatever from, right. You know. And so I saw the movie poster, like the real one. And I was like, well, that doesn't look like the record Lisa had in her room. You know, that kind of stuff. So anyway, so years later, this is like after I'm married and, you know, I'm like probably 35 or so. My wife and I, we listen to 80s music and we have this little contest. It's like, who can name the band and the song the fastest? And I always usually win because I have really obsessed over these songs over time. Yeah. And so we're listening to this one song and I'm like, I have never heard this song before. And Dina's like, oh yeah. You know, she's, you know, listening. And I'm like, I have never heard this before. And I'm like, who is it? She said, it's George Michael. Of course. Don't you know? And I'm like, no, I had never heard this song before. And she's like, yeah, it's I Want Your Sex. And I'm like, why have I never heard this song before? So I go home, go right on Wikipedia, and guess what song was on the Beverly Hills Cop 2 soundtrack?
Oh.
That was the one that my aunt had written over.
Well, that's good that she kind of looked out for you.
I guess so.
Sheltering you.
That's she was sheltering me from that, so. Yeah, I have no memory of that song. So I wonder how many songs I would have listened to really if my aunt had been picking all of them. Probably not many. So anyway, I would say that's the one thing that when I was younger, I didn't really understand about the world was that, you know, music is actually about things maybe that kids shouldn't be listening to.
That is actually an awesome answer because I am totally the same way. Like even now I'll hear a song that I knew as a kid, and I'm like, oh, that's what that was about.
Because
I never really paid attention. And we were in a car sometimes, we'll listen to a song. And my wife's really good about hearing the words, but I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and I'll kind of be, you know, kind of that's a cool song. And she's like, do you know what they're saying? And I'm like, yeah. no, but
no,
it's,
I don't.
It's got a cool beat. You know, I like it. And she's like, yeah, they're talking about something bad or violent or something. I'm like, I can't even understand what they're saying.
But
there's a couple times I've had a song like on my iPod and I'm out playing basketball or something. And she's like, you can't listen to that with the kids. I'm like, well, I don't even know what they're saying. It just sounds cool. But
yeah,
I think, I'm so bad.
It's ridiculous. And another, and this one, it's not a pop music from back in the day, but my dad used to listen to country music all the time back when I was younger. And so that was a lot of what I heard until I got my own radio when I was like 10 or so. One of the songs, he loved George Jones.
Okay, sure. Okay?
Yeah, one of his favorite songs was He Stopped Loving Her Today. So
that's
I have heard.
That's where she dies, right?
Okay, I didn't know that.
Okay, that's
a sad song. No, that's not what happens. I just thought it was about he finally got over her, you know?
Oh, okay.
He's finally past it. And then I got to listening to the lyrics like one day. I don't know why. For some reason, it was on Facebook or whatever. And it's about he dies. The guy dies. And that's why he stopped loving her. He loved her forever.
He stopped loving her.
Yeah. Yeah, they put a wreath on his door.
That's right.
They carried him away.
She took the off of his ring.
Yeah. And I'm like, how depressing is that song?
Yeah.
That is awful. It is. Well, that's bad enough there.
That's how did you have the nerve to be surprised?
I should have known, I guess. I don't know. But wow. I guess I was just oblivious to that when I was a kid. I guess I'm still oblivious now.
When we were growing up, they were good at concealing what the songs were about.
Maybe.
Well, at least in the 80s and even 70s, some of the classic rock, you know, they covered them up.
Right.
Especially Pink Floyd, man. But
Sure.
But there's a band like Jellyfish. You remember the band Jellyfish when they were around for a short bit in the 90s? And their biggest hit was The King is Half Undressed.
Okay.
And that has to do about a broken contraceptive. But it became the number one song for Jellyfish. And then, every single song they had. And the name Jellyfish matched the band so well because it was such fluffy music and beautiful music. And I mean beautiful, every instrument you can think of in there, not just guitars, bass, and drums. But the words stang. Every single song was about something terrible. But it was fluffed up with this beautiful music, and the lyrics were just the opposite. So
I don't know how I could have not taken away that Funky Col Medina is about what Funky Col Medina is about. But I didn't really ever listen to that until I played it for my son. I was like, dude, this song's awesome. Check this song out. Whoa. Turn off the song.
I like big butts. And I go, hold on a second.
Now that one is the only song I know all the words to. You know? Oh, well.
Well, mine is kind of embarrassing. But I remember.
Like mine wasn't. Mine.
Well, I'm a late bloomer on this. And when it hit me, I felt like. Like, gosh, why didn't I pick up on this sooner? I was 9 years old in the classroom, and my teacher wrote down 1979 on the board. It was January 1979. And it's the first time that I realized that December 1978 just passed. And it just clicked all of a sudden that before that was 77 when Star Wars came out. And before that was 76. Holy moly, the years are in consecutive order. So next is 1980 and 80, and then I think that's not just when I figured out the numeric order of things, but because it was I was oblivious to all that. I didn't study that, but I got a perception of time. That's when time hit me. I was like, so that means, and I started like doing big math. I remember that as if this happened yesterday. My teacher was Mrs. Franks, St. Anne's School, went to Catholic school, and she's sitting there and she's writing up stuff on the board. And she looked at me and she goes, Kevin, what are you doing? Cause she's very crabby. What are you doing? And I was figuring something out with math, and she saw me writing math stuff. And she goes, good, whatever you're doing, keep it up, you know? But what I was doing is figuring out what year I would be 20 years old and what year I would be 30 years old. And just freaking myself out.
Oh, no.
1990, I'll be 30.
You're having an existential crisis right there in the second grade.
And I did the math wrong on that. Excuse me. It was 2000 when I was 30. It was freaky. It was just freaky when I finally got it. And I'll never forget that. And that is when I was a kid realizing, you know, that I had missed, you know, 9 years prior of the essence of time. No clue. And that's why everything went so slow. Everything was so slow. Like you say to your mom or dad, I'm going to go outside and play for 5 minutes. And that felt like an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. You know,
5 minutes was an hour and a half back then until I figured out time. And right, I was just right. Oh.
Wow.
Freaky.
How about you?
That's it. Chris? That's all I got.
You know, I'm going to – mine's probably lame. The only thing I could think of, because you're let's do a real
– Now, hold on. You pick the questions.
Yeah, you've got to answer.
I know. I have to apologize because I wrote it down like 2 months ago, and I didn't look at it again until like an hour ago. I guess for me, definitely the songs – that Mark said, that's an awesome answer.
Yeah.
And Kevin's is good too. So for me is going to be the crappy answer. And my answer is, as a kid, I was real big. I guess like most kids probably is, you know, imagination. I used to watch a lot of fun movies, science fiction, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, all that kind of stuff, playing outside, mm-hmm. Playing with toys and everything. So I guess growing up, like the Goonies, which we're going to talk about,
yeah.
Is I always had this sense of adventure and you know, watched all the action movies and everybody's a hero and, you know, Chuck Norris and Arnold Schwarzenegger and everybody's just larger than life and you can do everything. Yeah. And then you kind of get older and it's like, oh, you know, then you work at Kmart and it's like, oh, I'm not Indiana Jones. I don't get to travel the world fighting bad guys. I've got to, you know.
I'm pretty sure most professors of archaeology don't. Pretty sure.
Yeah, it's kind of something, you know, you just kind of think, oh, man, it's you know, you just watch all these movies and you think your life's going to be a movie as a kid. And it's like, I'm going to be that guy. And then it's not. And sometimes it's kind of an awakening.
Yeah.
But you are to your kids. That's something that's,
oh yeah. I mean, you have to
exactly that to your kids. So.
Yeah.
I just remember thinking I knew that I was going to be on the space shuttle someday.
Oh, awesome.
You know, that because we were right. Everybody was going to be able to do spacecraft just like we had aircraft.
I was too scared to even go near a space shuttle. The first time I saw the Columbia situation, I was like, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't perfected that yet.
When, yeah, still not.
I'm like, I'm not getting on one of them. But I did want to grow up and be, well, I was in the 70s, so I thought I'd be a fireman, a policeman. Whatever was on the sticker on the telephone is what I was going to be, a doctor, a fireman, or a policeman.
That's a great line right
That's what I was going to be.
What if it was like the exterminator or something like that?
I'd have to be it. Mr. Yuck, because that sticker.
Mr. Yuck, yeah, that's it.
But
nice.
No, I completely understand what your point is there, Chris. Because yeah, watching, like, for me, it was Dukes of Hazzard. I thought I'd grow up and you know, live
run
in a small
and shine.
Town and run and shine in my Dodge Charger that I would have to replace the flag on top of.
Of course you would.
And, and there's a lot of Confederate jokes tonight.
Wow.
Yeah, and then you reach an age, and now, you know, and there was a time I was thinking, if I see somebody picking on somebody else, I used to think, I can go over there and straighten them out. And now, at my age now, it's like, I better stay over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens over there before I go over there, because my chest hurts, or my arm's out. I don't know if I could. That guy looks pretty quick. You know, it comes with age, I guess.
Yeah, makes sense.
All right, let's let's do some Goonies. Okay, so I don't even know how to start this. Kevin?
Yeah.
So you never saw it growing up. So
never ever. I remember the trailer because the trailer is on this disc that I have right here.
Okay.
And, so I do remember seeing the trailer, and I remember having a pull for wanting to see it when I was a kid, but I never did see it. Never saw
it. Okay. Wow, that is amazing. So, okay, let's just get into it, man. So you watched it. What do you think?
Man, my favorite part was watching Billy Crystal and Danny DeVito try to get Mom off the train. when she was crying.
Owen! Owen!
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hold it.
No. I really, really, really liked it, and I could imagine loving it if I was a kid. At my age now watching it, I got on my nerves just a hair. Just because I'm slow upstairs now. The attic is quite dusty. And trying to keep up with everybody going,
ooh, ooh, right. Oh,
get him. My favorite was the chubby kid dancing around. What's his name?
Chunk.
Chunk doing the truffle shuffle. Oh, my gosh. That just made me die. I spit out something I was eating. And then seeing, what's his name? The guy who yells, Indy.
Data. Yeah, he's the best.
Was awesome.
Yeah. Cool.
Data had stuff on him that I think came to flourish in the future. And And then seeing the chick that I can't remember her name.
Andy's
in it. Yeah, the one with the glasses. The she was a snot at first, and then she started liking
Steph.
The dude. Yes.
Yeah.
I seen her in a lot of movies when I was a kid, and so it was neat to see her in this. I mean, I like the movie. It's something I'm going to see every year now, thanks to you.
Thanks
for having me pick the certain months to see it. You said at the end of August. I watched it towards the beginning of August, actually.
Okay.
And so now it's my summer movie. But I could imagine it loving it even more. Like I said, it was a little fast-paced for my
it's a little frantic.
Respiratory system. So I'm like, wait, oh, they're coming. Wait, oh, go in there, yeah. And for those who haven't seen yet, I'm going to let us talk about it more before I try to ruin it. So I'll stop where I am. But I love the climax part when they get to that. I don't want to say it yet, but
We got a spoiler.
It's 30 years old.
When they get to the treasure part they're all sitting around that table. And then and he goes over and stands next to what was his name now? See, look at that.
One-Eyed Willie.
Thank you so much. And then doesn't Glad Willie turn towards him a little bit?
Yeah.
And that just right there, I was like, that's awesome. That's Spielberg. Steven Spielberg wrote that.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. So I loved it. I loved it. I could say I loved it. I'll take the like out and put the love in.
All right. Good deal.
And to see Mama before she was Mama on the train.
Yeah, she was awesome. Kids suck.
Yeah, that part's hilarious. Great movie.
Mm-hmm. Great movie. The reason I mentioned watching it in the summer is when I was a kid, I would watch it. Once I got it on video, I remember we bought a VHS copy. It's $10. I still have it at some point. And so I would watch it usually in the summer. And I would kind of watch it towards the end, like right before we went back to school. I had this weird kind of, I want to say relationship with the movie. But for me, it was like this big adventure that these kids, they found this treasure. They basically kind of make it sound like they have enough money to pay for all their houses, but maybe not anything extra. Mm-hmm. And then that's the end. So to me, it's like they have this awesome adventure. They get to keep their houses, but then, you know, the next week it's back to normal. Like the ship's gone. Yeah. and so that to me, that was kind of like summer is this big adventure. And then you go back to school
it speaks to you when you're a kid.
And I always kind of thought that, to me, the ending was always and I guess maybe because I watched it as I was getting older and realizing that, you know, you're growing up, but it was always kind of like a bit of a sad ending because that's their big adventure. And then they're going to go to school, get a job, and it's going to be kind of hard to top the Goonie, you know, that adventure, and I always thought, you know, it's like, if I was there and that was me in that movie, you could always go back in those caves, you know, like, and go explore and go down that water slide because it's still there. I don't know. That's why I was watching it at the end of the summer. It just kind of reminded me of it's the end and now it's back to, you know, the real life, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you saw in the news what the people who have purchased the house have gone through, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They had to cover it with tarps and everything, and they were yelling at people. Now they put out some statement, you know, anybody caught near our property will be arrested. Because
really?
Every year there's so many tourists going over there to sure. the Goonies place, and especially this past year because it's the 30th?
30th, uh-huh. right.
Yeah, oh. so.
Right.
Yeah, they were throwing yes. a fit.
I'll just cover it really briefly. We went to Astoria, with Oregon, which is where they filmed most of the movie. And yeah. And we were there. That was in 2010. And the city at that time kind of made it like a Goonies celebration. So they brought in the actors. I got to meet a couple of them.
That's really cool.
It was fun. It was fun walking down the street and there's people, you know, all Goonied out. And it was really neat. And you could go on a tour and they take you around and stuff. But and you could go to the house. And as part of the tour, you could go in the house. Like the lady that lives there was there, and she would open it up. She would tell you, like, it doesn't look the same on the inside because it's been 25 years. And so it's been remodeled. And when she bought it, apparently the house was like falling apart. And so she fixed it up. But so you get to go through the house, you got to go upstairs and see. And so when you see the movie and then you go see the house and she explains how they changed doors and added stairs and stuff, you get a little behind the scenes about how they film things to make the house look bigger. It's actually not nearly as big as it looks like in the movie. But it was really neat. And so it's kind of like a big deal. And so then with the internet, people were like, oh, check out the house. And so it just got to be where, especially she said in the summers, people just are coming all the time and they just walk up to her house. They walk on her porch and all this kind of crap. Mm-hmm. And so this summer was the 30th anniversary. And so we went back and we did it again. And it was even bigger than the 25th. And they had the tours and they had all that stuff. And so it's just gotten to be where the city's promoting it. There's no parking.
Wow.
A lot of people are really good, but a lot of people just don't pay attention to what they're doing. They don't care. They park where they're not supposed to. They block people in. Mm-hmm. And so it got out of control with some people. Apparently, people were looking through her windows, and she'd ask them to leave, and they'd yell at her. You know, and it's like her house. You know, it's not like it's not a museum.
Right.
Right. Like, you know, and so anyway, you know, I got to meet her and talk to her and stuff, but she's really nice. And
did she put the shotgun down when you were talking to her?
No. She was really nice. And even wife was saying that. She's like, I don't see how she can do this with all these people.
Yeah,
all these people coming through your yard.
Can't imagine.
Neighbors are, you know, they got signs up. Some signs would say, Goonies welcome. And other signs are like, don't park here, you know, because they block everybody in. It's a real small neighborhood. But anyway, so yeah, that's the deal with that. And so they're trying to get people to leave her alone.
Whenever there was a big crowd of people outside, at any point did anybody yell, hey, you guys?
Oh, all the time.
I'm sure they did.
Doing the truffle shuffle. I mean, I got we got pictures on the porch. This time we went, I actually did a girl was taking a picture of me and my wife, and she said, drag her across the porch like Bran does with Mikey, because I was dressed up like Bran. I had
You were?
Yeah, I totally. And my wife was dressed up like Mama. Mama Fratelli.
You're my hero. Seriously. Yeah,
it was
that's amazing.
We when we were there for the 25th, there were some people in costumes, and we said, hey, if we ever come back, you know, we should dress up. So, you know, we were planning to come to this trip, and my wife's like, we're gonna dress up, and I'm like, I don't know if because I carry around a sketchbook and a camera, and I'm like, I don't wanna like wear this costume all day, you know. But I did. So I dressed up like Bran. We went on the tour. We went to the house. We went downtown. I wore that thing all day, and it was really cool because people were like, "Oh, cool costume!" You know.
Yeah.
But it was pretty fun. So, anyway, I may do a separate podcast where I can talk more about the town and the trip. But it's really cool to see how they film. Like in the opening scene, the kids are riding their not in the opening scene, but when the kids are riding their bike to start the treasure hunt. It shows them coming through certain streets, and then they're driving through the woods and stuff. But once you drive through the town and see where they filmed it, like none of that stuff is by the house. It's a lot of it's going the wrong direction. You know, it's just the way they film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's really cool to see, you know, and like when they're driving, it shows them driving through the woods on that road, and they stop to look at the metal, and they're going to the restaurant. They're actually driving away from the restaurant. Like the way it's filmed, the ocean's on their right side, but it should be on their left. It's pretty neat.
That's pretty cool though.
But yeah, okay. So enough of me. Kevin, what do you guys, especially Kevin, since you just seen it, what don't you like about it? Or kind of, you said it kind of fast, but.
Well, it was fast because it was written for kids. Sure. And one thing Steven Spielberg knew how to do, and it still knows how to do, even though he's doing it more for adults now, but was write a movie that would keep a kid staring at the screen and doesn't care if he has to go to the bathroom or is hungry or is, you know, starving. The kid is going to just stare at that screen because he knew how to lure them in. Take Indiana Jones and anything else that he was a part of when we were growing up. And that's what I loved about that movie is the fact that, yeah, you're asking what I didn't like. I could go on about what I liked about it. Let me tell you what I didn't like.
Okay.
The very ending of the movie, when everybody was tying up loose ends. And to me, if I have to do the judgmental thing and be a joke, I did not like the way everything was tied up so fast.
Okay.
It was like a quick stitch to finish a movie because they ran out of time, or they didn't have enough to, or there was a cap on the amount of time that they had, or they had to reshoot the very end. It just seemed too quick at the end. I was like, Oh, and I felt like I was watching a bad episode of the Brady Bunch. It went south.
You know, I kind of can see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Watching it tonight, I really thought the middle where they're actually in the, for lack of a better term, dungeon. Mm-hmm. I thought it's a little long. My favorite parts of the movie are before they even get to the
in there. Yeah.
They really are. And I really wanted them to have more of that at the very end. And it's like wrapped up in like 7 minutes or so. I mean, they're out and bam, 7 minutes later, the movie's over. Yeah. And I wanted to know, like, see what they're, I don't know. I just like, you may have to make all these assumptions about what's going to happen. We didn't even see Chunk's parents interact with Sloth, did we?
He's like, you're going to live with me now.
You're going to live with me. And I would have liked to have seen the parents be like involved in that decision, you know?
Like, oh, slow down, Chunk, slow down.
Yeah. So I definitely see where you're coming from there, Kevin.
And there was a couple of things that I looked up before, but also tried looking for them in the movie. And they're just little tiny things, like with Josh Brolin being called Josh.
Uh-huh.
At one point in the movie, there's a scene in a restaurant, and then Data jumping off twice into the water. And little things like that I looked for, and that kind of makes the movie unique. Doesn't mean I didn't like that part, but I thought that was pretty cool. Otherwise, the character what's her name that plays Throw Mama from the Train?
Anne Ramsey.
Mama from Telly.
Yeah.
It seemed to be the same thing that was in Throw Mama from the Train with a little less husky, but I guess that's who she is. But I kind of was hoping that I just wanted to see her play herself for some reason.
Yeah.
Cause I've heard her in interviews talk completely different, but she still had that gruff exterior. And I think she's a beautiful woman, and I think she should, you know, just live up to her beauty.
Yeah. They said apparently like, she's like super sweet.
She is. She's a sweetheart.
Did you notice she never gets wet anywhere through the movie?
Oh, yeah.
That's like she's totally dry the whole time.
It was in her script. She did not want to.
I guess so.
Hey, you want to know something interesting? I was watching Murder, She Wrote. Sean Johnson, the throwback reviews guy, had talked about how he watched his Murder, She Wrote. And I used to watch it with my parents. So I started watching it again. And I believe on... it's one of the earliest episodes. I don't know if I think it might be the first one, but the Angela Lansbury, whatever her name is in the show, she goes to this bigger city, and she's following somebody, and she gets on a bus, and she's like trying to track this person, and the guy's like, you know, it's a dollar, and she only has a bill. And he's like, exact change. And so she's like, oh, I don't have change. So she looks behind the bus driver, and there's kind of a, not a homeless looking lady, but kind of looks like a homeless lady. And she's sitting on the bus, and it's Ann Ramsey. Mm-hmm. And she's got like a one of those things that holds all your change, like they used to have change on your purse. Belts. Yeah. It had the slots for quarters, dimes.
Oh, like somebody having that, like Sonic or somewhere like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's sitting there just looking real mean. And the Murder, She Wrote lady, Angela Lansbury, she goes, can I get four quarters for $1? And Ramsey goes, no, you can get three. And then that's it. That's like the whole scene. And she gives her three quarters so she can pay for the, you know.
Wasn't she one of the homeless people in Scrooged?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was hugging somebody. What was that? She was in the homeless shelter.
Yeah. And one of the firefighters from Roxanne was also one of them.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you need to talk about Roxanne sometime. That's a fantastic movie.
Yeah,
I guess about that.
Yeah, we can do that.
Anyway, sorry, that was a weird little tangent to go down. But anyway,
I only remember seeing part of Roxanne when I was a kid, and I could rewatch it because I didn't. I only watched a few minutes.
It's great.
I HBO'd the heck out of that movie.
Oh, really? Man, I recorded it off HBO. Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's Steve Martin with the long nose. Right?
Oh yeah, man.
Okay,
so
okay.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have to do that because that'd be a good one for me because I have not seen that.
There you go. He could be the one.
You're the one.
Yeah.
Give your
hey, you were you were talking about the end of the Goonies and how it wraps up so fast.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly, they filmed a different ending to that movie, and they filmed it first.
Mm.
A lot of times, if you look at like the storybooks that came out or trading cards and stuff for the Goonies, they'll have scenes on those like the trading cards that aren't in the movie, and some of it is from that alternate ending where it ends. If I remember correctly, they all go back to Mikey's house, and I think it's the next day. That's when they find the jewels.
Okay.
So they're back at the house, and the sloth is there, but they didn't use the scene, if I remember correctly, because his mask didn't look right. So they had to make another mask, and then I guess by the time they got all that worked out, they either didn't want to go back and refilm it, or they ran out of time, or something about that. But there was an alternate ending where it's like the next day and whatnot.
Okay. Well, that kind of makes more sense.
There's also another scene that I don't know if it was filmed. I've seen a couple photos of it, but I think it's at the beginning when they're having a big car chase. Somehow, I think it's at that point, they do something with the zoo and some gorillas get out and they steal Troy's Mustang and drive around on his Mustang.
The gorillas do?
And they cut all that.
Wow.
I was going to say, that's not in my movie.
No. Yeah, no, it's I've only seen a couple pictures of it.
Why won't they release that in like a Blu-ray version where they can just add all the...
My Blu-ray had deleted scenes that I didn't watch any of them. I didn't have time. I ran out of time. I should go
check. Yeah, there's the gorilla scene. I don't know if they actually have any of it on film. There's a couple still photos. Mm-hmm. But the deleted scenes on the DVD, it's the octopus scene.
Yeah.
Which makes so much more sense because,
they talk about it at the end.
Yes. And when I was a kid, I'm like, what is he talking about? Like,
yep.
Because it makes him seem like he's lying. You know, like when I was a kid, I'm like, why is he talking about an octopus? Why is he making that up? That's not Data.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I was like, that always confused me until.
Chunk would make it up, but Data wouldn't.
Right. And I was like, what is going on? And then years and years and years later, it's like, that was a cut scene. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh.
You know,
I had. Better.
I guess when I was a kid, I had like the junior movie novelization of the Goonies.
Okay.
And it had some pictures in the middle. You know how they do. They've got picture frames in the middle. And I may still have – I just had like when I started teaching, I took all of my old books from when I was a kid, and I took, you know, because you need a lot of books on your shelves, and I didn't have any. So I just took all the stuff my mom had kept from when I was a kid. And I'm pretty sure I had that even till like 7 or 8 years ago when I was a classroom teacher. I still had the Goonies movie novelization on my bookshelf.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure that some of those scenes were in there, though.
Okay.
In the book. In the book.
Yeah. There's a deleted scene where when they leave their house on their bikes, they ride down the street to a convenience store, which is actually right down the street from the house in real life. But they go into the convenience store, and Mikey finds a map of the Oregon coast, which is it's actually the real map. And that's how they know where to go to the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Because he lines it up with that. That
makes more sense that way.
Yeah, and then they run into Troy, and they have a little fight, and then they take off. But it kind of explains how they knew where to go, but they cut that out. But it's in the cut scene.
Okay.
It's pretty neat.
I wanted to ask about Sloth. I couldn't understand, unless I missed something, why he was the way he was. Is that because Mom dropped him when he was a kid?
That's what I thought.
Well, I think that's what's implicated, but I mean, there may have been other things too. I don't know.
Huh. I always wonder because it's like I couldn't understand why he was the way he was and how he got there until I think what I did was go back. I was like, why is Sloth the way he is?
Yeah.
But when he calls, hey, you guys, and the first thing I did was flash back to my record of the electric company for the same thing, the hey, you guys in the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
that's probably where he got the phrase. I never put those two and two together.
Yeah, because of the it was out at the same time, and I guess that was the hottest thing back then.
Mm-hmm.
So he must have loved the electric company, but I don't know if he was watching that on the TV or not at some point.
It was a pirate movie.
Freeman. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
So
he could have been watching the electric company, I guess.
Could have been,
he's watching TV all day.
Yeah.
When we were in Astoria this past June for the 30th, I actually met the guy that was the stuntman for Sloth.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah, he was super nice guy. One interesting thing is when we went to Astoria 5 years ago, I did a whole bunch of fan art before we went there and did some posters, all kind of stuff. And so I kind of got really big into Goonies again. And I saw online somebody had a DVD that was the TV edit of Goonies. So they would show like on Disney or whatever.
Okay.
And I never really thought too much about it. But when it's on TV, they cut out the cuss words. They cut out, you know, some of the other stuff.
There's really a lot in
it. Oh, man.
Yeah. PG back in the 80s had a lot of language.
Oh, yeah. That Goonies is definitely not as good when they cut all that stuff out because the kids don't say all the cuss words, which makes it funny. But one of the neat things is since they cut out so much of that, they put in a lot of those extra scenes. Mm. The cut scenes are in the TV edit. So it's different. It's and that's the one my kid sees because there's too many cuss words for them right now. I don't want them repeating it. But so that's the one we watch. When we were up there this summer, they showed Goonies movie on a huge screen at the football field where that opening scene where the cheerleaders are.
Oh,
and so we all went and watched it at night. It was really cool. But they showed the real version with all the cuss words.
Yeah.
And my kids didn't even notice, but the scene with that I was telling you about with the convenience store, that's not in the theatrical cut. So after the movie, I was like, so what do you guys think? My daughter's like, where's the part with the convenience store? And I was like, oh. So I had to explain to her, you know, like, but anyway. What else? What do you guys think?
Well, going back to Kevin's thing about, hey, you guys, when we saw this, it was one of the few – I don't remember going to the movies a lot with my dad with us.
Okay.
Most of the time, it was like Mom would take us to, like, the summer movies through PTA or whatever.
Right.
But there's, like, several movies I remember seeing with Dad. One of them was Return of the Jedi. We saw Princess Bride. And this one was one, too, The Goonies. We went to see it all together. And so he really liked the movie. And so, I mean, we ate it up. It was just – we loved it. And so the phrases from the movie just kind of became part of our family talk, you know, it was phrases that we would use all the time. And hey, you guys was one all the time. Like dad would walk in the door and he'd be like,
"Hey, you guys!" You know,
doing this, and all the time. And yeah, we would always talk about booty traps, yeah. Which is, I love Data. He's probably, I don't know. I can't pick who my favorite is. I just can't pick. But anyway, I love Data. And the whole booty trap thing is one we do a lot. But another one, and I don't know why I get so tickled every time, when Mouth sticks his tongue through that painting.
Oh,
it's like,
yeah.
Oh, you make me feel like a woman. Come give me a big, wet, licorice kiss. We say that all the time to each other, even now. And my kids have picked up on this. So big, wet, licorice kiss is in our, like, DNA at this point. It's just, we say it all the time. You know, the cast is absolutely brilliant. I know we're not supposed to talk about things that we don't like or whatever right now, but
I think that's fine.
The thing that strikes me about it is, like, I think everybody could identify with one of the Goonies, right?
Sure.
You pretty much hit all the stereotypes people in the, you know, you got the fat kid, you've got the nerdy kid, you've got the one, and to me, it was Mikey because I had asthma, and seeing a kid who had an inhaler in a movie was like, wow, that could, you know, that was the one that I kind of thought I could be like Mikey, you know, but anyway,
there you go.
But he's so, Chunk is, to honestly, that's one of the problems I have with it, is that Chunk is not in it enough.
Oh, no, yeah. He isn't.
Yeah. If Chunk was with the rest of the group, I think the movie would have been better.
That's true. He does disappear quite a bit.
You know, he's out. But then you'd miss the scene, and it's my favorite scene in the entire movie. It's when they tell him to spill the beans, kid. And he just starts vomiting out all this stuff about everything he's ever done. Yeah, and the worst thing I ever did. And I just die laughing every time when he talks about puking off of that balcony at the movies. That is so funny. And that was the first time that kid had ever acted, right? Is it Jeff Cohen? Is that his name?
Yeah.
He was a brand. He had never done it before.
Oh, I know it.
He was just brilliant. He was perfect.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's the best one, I think.
Oh, I really wish Chunk had been in the rest of it a little more. And the only other thing that bugs me about it, watching it now, is the kind of Scooby-Doo sound effect things that pop up from time to time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when they slip on the oily log, it's like, whoa, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, and sure. Zoinks! And that just, you know, just things like this. And I'm like, I guess when you're a kid, it doesn't really matter. But it's a little cheesy when you're a little bit older. And I have two minor nitpicks about the movie.
Okay.
One of them, as a music person, and Kevin, you probably picked up on this too. When she says, "I can't remember if it's A sharp or B flat," that's the same note. It's the same note, right? Isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is.
They're
actually
the same tone. So it's like, just it's the same thing, girl. Just push the bone, you know?
I think that was meant to be stupid, though. I hope it was.
Probably. I hope so. But yeah. The other thing,
that keyboard. That was freaking out.
It was cool, right?
Yeah. I want that.
And the other thing is, and this, I guess this kind of goes back to our earlier conversation about not understanding what things meant when you were younger, but the whole scene with where she slaps him and is like, "If you touch that mirror one more time," in the car, I had no clue what that was about for like a long time. I had no clue he was looking up her skirt with the mirror. And then when I did figure it out, there's like a scene where it's like you're up and above the driver's head and you can see them in the mirror. You can see up her skirt. And I'm like, that bothers me because that's the wrong angle. I know that that would not be right. He could not see a person. Right. I don't know. Anyway,
right.
It's just dumb.
It for us, well, I think.
Yeah, they
but
did.
Yeah, it was off.
Little bitty things like that got to me later. But if that's all you can complain about in a movie,
it's perfect.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah.
I looked on the Goonies Facebook page.
Okay.
And I'm a fan of quite a few movies on Facebook. Get this. All right. We'll see who gets closest. Without looking, don't go check. Guess how many people like the Goonies movie? Just a rough estimate.
It's just like The Price is Right.
Sure.
I want to go last.
If you win, you get to take any of my pills.
Oh, okay, great.
A million.
Edit out in post, sorry. It's got to be more than a million.
Okay, and what do you think, Mark?
It's got to be more than a million. I would say I'd say it's upwards of 5 million.
Okay. We'll try again. Mark, you have to come down. Chris, you have to come up.
Oh,
$1.2 million.
Mark?
3 million, Kevin.
Whoa.
Mark.
Yay!
3,083,938 people like this. Actually, 939.
Wow.
Wow. That's a lot of people.
That is, especially for a movie that is over 30 years old. And they're still posting on it. The last post was actually July 30th. So that's cool.
Yeah, it is. It is. Have you guys seen the music video that goes along with theme song, the Goonies Are Good Enough? I watched it again tonight. The last time I watched that with my old youngest son, I think he was probably 12. It's been a couple of years. And we always just look at the special features when we're done watching. And he's like, oh, there's a music video. Let's watch it. And at the end of it, he's like,
yes.
What was that? What was that? It is so weird. It's kind of like there's all these wrestlers and there's a gas station owned by Captain Lou Albano. And Cyndi Lauper is their daughter, I guess. Is that right, Chris?
So. Wow.
And then they have to, and they're out of money for their creditors. And in comes this big limousine, and out comes, I kid you not, Rowdy Roddy Piper, the recently deceased.
Yeah.
And the Iron Sheik and a couple other of these bad guy wrestlers, right? And they're there to foreclose on the gas station. And then. Then all of a sudden she goes, and behind this painting in the gas station is basically the set from the movie of the Goonies. And all the kids from the Goonies are down there. There's also a hibachi grill with like six guys cooking down there as well.
That is
awesome.
And
the next thing you know, like Iron Sheik and Rowdy Roddy Piper go down and chase him. And Rowdy Roddy Piper's like wearing a toga and he's got a scimitar. I'm not sure quite what that is about. And at the very end, Andre the Giant shows up. And it's like, what? And it's totally strange.
Yeah, how you doing?
And it's the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. And it is exactly what I would have loved when I was 11 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And that's exactly probably why I love this movie. I mean, I probably saw that on MTV, right?
Yeah.
In the day.
Oh, yeah. You would have had to have seen it on MTV.
Yeah, because, you know, Cyndi Lauper was totally cool, right? I mean, she was so recognizable.
Oh, yeah. And then she's on the movie.
And then she's got the wrestlers there, too. And it's like, wow, that's amazing. And it is the strangest thing.
It's weird.
But, you know what? 80s music videos, kind of weird anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of weird anyway.
Funny story about that.
Up there.
Jeff Cohen, the guy that plays Chunk, he was telling us, the audience or whatever, when they filmed that scene where Cyndi Lauper goes down into basically, like you said, the Goonies set with the kids.
Yeah.
I think it's the Iron Sheik grabs the kids or he grabs Chunk. And Jeff was saying that when they filmed that, I think if I remember correctly, the Iron Sheik was really oiled up. And so Chunk kept like sliding out, and he would pick him up and he kept. And the Iron Sheik was getting kind of, frustrated, I guess, because Chunk kept like falling out or whatever. I can't remember exactly, but something like that. And basically he said, look, if you fall out again, I'm gonna squeeze you so tight, you know, like your ribs are gonna break or something. And so Chunk was like all like scared and stuff, you know. As a kid, you know, you got this big guy, and he's like, stop squirming. Something like that. Yeah. Anyway, it's a funny story.
It was pretty wacky.
Yeah.
I tell you.
It's a good song, though. Good soundtrack.
But yeah, it is. It really is. It really is.
So what did you guys think of the wonderful job by Corey?
Yeah.
I thought he was brilliant.
I think it worked. He was pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole scene where he's talking in Spanish to the housekeeper.
Yeah,
it's just like ridiculously funny, and I don't know. He's just funny. I think he's a pretty funny actor.
He's always been like the ditz in the 80s movies, but this one he pulled off pretty decently.
Back to the music video again. Steven Spielberg pops up in the middle of the video.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, there's like at the end of like I guess it was in two parts that aired at like consecutive weeks or something. But at the end of the one, she's like stuck in between the wrestlers on one side, and I think it's the Bangles on the other side. I really do think it was the Bangles group was trying to chase her from the other side.
I'm going to have to watch that tonight.
What am I going to do to get out of this situation? Steven Spielberg, help me out. And then it like pans back out to Steven Spielberg watching it on his TV. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. I was like, what is this? What is this? It's so weird. I just don't see how that like got approved by some, you know, fat cat budgeter. I mean, like, yeah, we can totally throw the hibachi grill down there in the cave. It's no big deal. I don't know. Or maybe it was just they were catering, you know? That was the catering people, and they were like, hey, let's put these guys in the video. That'd be funny. Who knows?
Has to do about how big the paycheck was. That's it.
Yeah, probably so.
Mentioned Cyndi Lauper, and I don't know why it's tugging at me, but I got to say it. I did not know that Cyndi Lauper sang the Pee Wee Playhouse theme song until about 2 days ago.
I did not know that till like 5 seconds ago. Is that right?
Yeah.
Cyndi Lauper sang
the Pee Wee.
Out.
Yeah, that's all. Cyndi Lauper. No clue.
That's another one. She sang that song, She Bop a Wee Bop. I never knew what that song meant until about a couple years ago.
I should have put that on the list because, yeah, that's not about like, dancing or pop and all in general. Oh, I was thinking doo wop, pop. Yeah. Yeah. And like Hold On Loosely, you know, that song.
Oh, goodness.
What? Really? Seriously, really?
Oh, man.
I mean, come on. Okay, anyway.
I'm going to have to look up all these songs.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to educate myself. It's pretty bad. My copy of Goonies is actually in a 3-pack with Gremlins and Gremlins 2.
Awesome.
Which I love both those movies, too. But anyway, you couldn't pick better G movies, I don't think. Those are probably my favorite G movies in my collection, except all the Godzillas, of course. Those count ahead of everything. But
I was going to say, my copy I picked up from the Goodwill, of course, for 99 cents, but it was in the new wrapper.
Nice.
And I got this. First thing I did was take pictures and share it with Sean and Rob immediately because they were teasing me of the fact that I hadn't seen it yet.
Yeah.
And so I was like, look, guys, I got it.
When the 25th anniversary came out 5 years ago, they put out a special edition Goonies DVD that came in a box, and with it was a reproduction of like the movie magazine that came out like in the 80s. It has all the photos and drawings, and it also has a replication of the Goonies board game, but it's like a tiny size. And it came with, think, some like storyboards or something. It's really cool. It's like $20 maybe. And you get the movie and you get all that stuff. It's really cool. It's really neat. I think you can still get it.
Man.
Oh, definitely.
Worth it.
I got a Goonies story. Not too many people know about this, but in 2010, we went to Oregon. I believe the year after that, or the year or 2 years after that, I went on a mission trip with my church. And we went to the Dominican Republic. And we went down there and for a week, and there was a church that we were stationed at, and we went and like they did construction projects. We did vacation Bible school where we taught like different passages of the Bible to kids and made it fun. And they did medical school, not medical school, but a medical clinic where we had some nurses and with us, and they would treat whatever they could with whatever medicine we could take. And what I did most of the time when they would do that is I would do face painting for the kids, just for something for them to do while they're waiting. And we did a lot of that. Mm-hmm. We went to an orphanage and just, you know, it was just a whole week of just stuff like that. And the last day was sort of like, kind of like a vacation day. 'Cause all the days we were kind of working and stuff, not really sightseeing, you know? And so the last day they kind of took us to a beach for an hour. We had some pizza, and then we walked around kind of like the touristy part, because where we were at was like the really poor neighborhood. And so we were at this touristy spot, and it's kind of like a little market, and everybody's trying to sell you the same stuff. And it's all in Spanish. I didn't speak Spanish, but there's a high school boy with me, not with me, but with the group. And I was like, hey, you know, you want to I want to walk around. I don't want to do this touristy thing. I want to walk down the street. But I need somebody to go with me that can speak Spanish. You want to go with me? And he was like, yeah. And we'd hung out. You know, I hadn't met him before the trip, but he was really cool. So hey, let's just walk. Let's just go. We've got like 30 minutes. Let's just check it out. So we start walking down the street, and we went into a couple stores just looking at stuff, you know, whatever. And one of the stores was kind of like a stationery store. It had a little bit of everything, but not much of anything. But they had like some old books and stuff. And we're walking in, and then on the shelf was a Goonies coloring book and a Goonies like activity book. And I was like,
wow.
And
just
totally random.
Just randomly.
Perfect shape. Wow. Unused. In the Dominican Republic, and I'm like, "What the hell?" And
how much?
I think it ended up being like a dollar for both of them.
Oh
yeah,
gosh,
yeah.
You have
and
them,
so
right?
It was like a, I mean, I don't know, you know, where you guys are at spiritually or whatever, but it was definitely like a God moment because you know what? After all that week of working and stuff, and we just happened to like, hey, let's go in the store, and then there's two brand new, not brand new, but perfect shape Goonies,
yeah.
And I was like, I was just like in shock. And I was like, give me them.
No
and,
kidding.
You got to wink.
I put them in my backpack. We get back on the bus and I was showing a couple people and I was like, dude, you guys aren't going to believe this. And so I showed them and they're all like, they didn't get it. You know, they're like, oh, it's Goonies coloring book. Or what? And I'm like, no, you don't get it. Like you can't even.
Yeah. You don't know how I am with
find
the
them on eBay.
Right?
You know, it's like 10 or 20 bucks, you know?
So it's like a wink from God. That's what
exactly.
That is. That's what you meant to say.
I was like blown away. It's funny because when we went to Oregon in for the 25th, I was all Goonies out doing tons of art. And then going there and seeing how they filmed it. I love the town. I wish I lived there. And then when we got back, my brother asked me, he was like, hey, now that you've been there and you've kind of done it all, are you kind of done with the Goonies? I mean, you know. And I'm like, I don't know. You know, I've been so immersed in it for you know, because I was on the forums talking to people, researching, you know, and anyway. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of did. It kind of once we got back, I fell in love with, like, the idea of the Goonies in the town. But I didn't watch the movie as much anymore. Mm-hmm. And then when we got closer to going on this trip, I did a bunch of art. I made a whole poster. I don't know if you guys ever saw it. It's on my blog, but it's a choose your own adventure, but it's a poster.
Yes, I did see that, and it's brilliant.
Yeah, and I saw it when you linked it on Facebook.
Super fun.
I'm heading
it's
there
really
now,
cool.
to be
That's
honest
really
with
but,
you. Check it out.
That's like a great idea. Choose your own adventure books are so awesome anyway.
That's ctupa.com. Is that right?
ctupa.com? Yeah, that's it. You got it.
I just think that the Goonies it's such a well-constructed story. I mean, it's got themes that everybody can really identify with, you know, like the rich versus the poor and the outcast versus the norm. And I guess it's just everyman characters, you know, you can totally see yourself in their place.
Jeff Cohen. When we heard him talk this past time, and one of the things that a lot of people in the audience were saying was that they related to him, number one, because he was, you know, he played the fat kid, but he was the hero. He's the one that came and saved them all. And he was a Jewish kid. And so a lot of the people in the audience who were Jewish were really excited to see a Jewish person on TV who, you know.
I'm not sure how I never picked up on the fact that he was Jewish,
so,
but okay.
That's pretty cool. Like, you can relate to it in different ways. He's the fat kid. He's the hero. He's Jewish. You know, Data's the Asian guy, but he's the nerd. He's, you know, really cool. It's,
Mm-hmm. What have you heard about Goonies 2 or a sequel / reboot?
I think,
what do you think of that?
Horrible.
No.
Horrible.
Same here. Because you'd have to have Bieber in it.
Oh, I didn't thought of that.
No, you just have to have somebody of knowledge for the kids nowadays. And nowadays, you're not going to find anybody with a brain cell big enough to do the.
Yeah, they had talked about
the
like the Goonies get back together and their kids go on an adventure, but it's.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it'd be hard to do it and it not be just flat stealing from the original.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think you could do a Jurassic World on it. You know what I mean?
I think it would have been fun to just, when they were, you know, like the next year when they were still kids and some, you know, somehow they could tie it into maybe they go back into caves and find something else or something.
I know exactly what they could do. Richard Donner is 85 years old. I just checked.
Okay.
I'm not that smart to remember something like that. So I just looked and it just dawned on me. What would be great is if Richard Donner would make a movie about, now what's the guy they found and it's the treasure? Happy Jack?
One-Eyed Willie.
One-Eyed Willie.
Yeah.
I'll make up a character
I like
if I don't remember.
Happy Jack, that's funny.
Whatever. Slim Jim, what do they call him? One-Eyed Willie. They should do a movie called One-Eyed Willie and make it a pirate story of how that
cool.
treasure got to where
that'd be cool. Yeah, that'd be neat. Yeah. Yeah.
Copyright 2015, 9,
11.
Go
11. To Zerbinator at
Zerbinator.wordpress.com. We should draw that, make that a graphic novel or something.
That would be awesome.
That would be very cool.
Buy me a Coke. We said at the same time, that would be awesome.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, Coke.
Or Pepsi soda.
Pepsi product placement was obviously what was going on. It only shows up like 50 times.
Hey, you know right, what, though? Up there in Astoria, where that movie was filmed, that's they have it's all Pepsi. There's no Coke.
That's funny.
Wow.
Yeah.
They sponsored the whole town. You know, you can do that. I just think, you know, there's some movies that are just set for their time and they're perfect.
Yeah.
I don't think you could have had the Goonies in the 70s or the 90s. It was perfect for the 80s. And trying to capture that same flavor, it just would not work.
Did you guys see that movie Echo?
Be impossible.
It came out, I don't know, a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. These kids find like a little robot-looking owl. It's on Netflix now, but it's...
Yeah, I saw the preview for it. I haven't seen the movie, and I'm kind of interested in seeing it, but...
I've not seen it.
It what is... it's really fun, and for me, it's like a 2000... I guess it came out in 2013. It's like a Goonies for 2013 because it's kind of how you would have to make it now. The kids have cell phones, and it explains how it works, it doesn't work, and how they get around. They ride bikes and stuff, but... And they kind of go on an adventure. They find this little alien robot, whatever. But it's kind of like Goonies. It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
I always thought that Super 8 was an attempt to get around that type of
thing. I really liked that movie.
Yeah, I
have it myself.
Good. I mean, I like me some monster movies, and that one's a good one.
Yeah.
They did a good job.
Period piece. A great period piece. Yeah, just... Yeah,
that's a good one, too.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a video game for the Goonies.
Yeah. I put that on the list, but I never played it. I think it was only like in the the arcade. I think it was just an arcade version. It was only in the Nintendo versus system in the arcade.
Yeah.
I think that's all. I why don't they make a Goonies like Xbox game now? That would be a good game, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Somebody somewhere is working on it and is not getting his patent.
Yeah. You know, it could be.
When the 25th anniversary rolled around, they actually had a video game that was on maybe Jeep. I think maybe it was Jeep. They had a little game where you drove a Jeep around like in the tunnels looking for treasure or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just for that anniversary. It was kind of cool.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
I don't
idea.
Know if you can still find it or not, but
if you could do a retro graphics role playing game or something, that'd be kind of neat. Because the whole thing is like Dungeons and Dragons, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you really think about it.
Yeah.
You gather the party. They've all got their different skills that are tested throughout the dungeon. And then they get to the loot at the end. I don't know. It just seemed that way. I probably put, when I was playing D&D in high school, I probably put you see a piano, but it's made out of dead man's bones.
There you go. You gotta play
that
the
kind
bones.
Of stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
So tell me a little bit about this Goonies soundtrack.
I have two. I have the one that was released in the stores. It's got two Cyndi Lauper songs. It's got some pretty cool songs. And then I've got another one that is all the instrumental music.
Cool.
There's a lot of that.
Did I hear REM in this in the movie?
I have the list right here. I think there is one. Let me can read them to you real quick. Goonies. You've got.
Goonies are good enough.
Goonies are good enough. Eight Arms to Hold You. That's called the Goon Squad. Let's see. I think REM.
That's got to be about the deleted octopus scene, right?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yep. I Got Nothing. It's by the Bengals.
Love Is Alive by Philip Bailey.
Tina Marie does 14K. That's a good one.
Tina Marie. Sorry.
REO Speedwagon. Wherever You're Going, It's All Right. That's one of my favorite songs on there.
Okay.
Yep.
She's
yeah,
so
that's
pretty.
What I mean. I think I said REM.
You did.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was it? REO? What did I say?
It's REO Speedwagon, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That's what I meant. So, I'm going to say that's what I meant, even though it's not what I said. It really was what I meant.
Yeah, there's a bunch of good songs on here. Let's see. Luther Vandross, Cindy Lauper.
She's so good to me.
How am I supposed to live? Yeah, it's funny because when I downloaded the soundtrack after our trip the first time and listening to it, I'm like, I don't remember half of these songs in the movie. But when you go back, like one of the songs is playing in the car when they're driving, and one of them is like in the background when they're, you know, and you barely hear it, but it's on the soundtrack.
In 2008, there's bonus tracks.
This is the kind of stuff I need to be listening to, because I'm always wondering why they don't make new 80s music. And then I realized, oh, yeah, it's not 1980 anymore.
It's
like finding the stuff that I didn't remember from when I was a kid. Yeah. That's what I realized.
Yeah. Oh, it's like gold.
You know, it's like, I mean, I listened to 5150 by Van Halen, but I probably knew three or four songs on that are played on the radio a bunch. But the rest of the album's good, too. You know,
exactly. Well, and like the Goonies, it's when they found Free Willy. Or what was it? One-Eyed Jack?
What did you say? Happy Jack?
Something like that.
One-Eyed Jack. That's it. You know, going back to what we said earlier, One-Eyed Willie, is that a euphemism?
It is now. It is now.
I'm like feeling uncomfortable talking about it with you two gentlemen.
Yeah, that's the sad part is back then it wasn't. Now it is.
Now it is. Great. Yeah. Now it's been sullied by our discussion this evening.
You were talking about the the pirate ship earlier when when they filmed that scene where the kids go into the water and then they turn around and see the pirate ship. They never let the kids see that pirate ship until that scene.
Oh, that's awesome.
So when they turned around, that's like what they really, that was the first time they saw it.
That's their original reaction to that. That is beautiful.
Yeah.
Although
Richard Donner being brilliant is what that is.
Yeah. Although according to, Mouth and, Mikey, they snuck on stage and saw it beforehand, but,
you know, the score is not particularly memorable to me, but it's when it's got those feel goody moments where it does the little synthesizer riff over and over.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's kind of, I don't know, that kind of gets me every time when I hear that beep, 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 you know, just gets me.
Oh, I have to tell y'all something. When, the 25th anniversary came, when it came and we went up there, I made some trading cards to like hand out as sort of like a business card. So when you know when they go down in the caves and they find Chester Copperpot and he's dead, and then, that's a funny scene too. He's like, I don't want to touch him, and then he wipes his hands on his they go through his wallet and they find that baseball card of Lou Gehrig.
Yep.
Well,
so
I made a copy, like a copy of that baseball card, but I drew the characters from the movie and put them in there, so it's like,
oh, nice. Oh,
cool. But it looks just like that baseball card. And so I handed them out. And in Astoria, they have a film museum. And the film museum is inside the jail where they filmed that scene. They turned it into a little small film museum. It's actually a really small jail. But when we went in there, they had some of the movie memorabilia, some of like the trading cards and all that kind of stuff on display, and I gave them some of those trading cards, and I said, hey, they had some of the baseball cards in there and some of the trading cards. I said, hey, look, I made one too. I mean, here, if you want it, whatever. Well, anyway, so when we went back this past summer, my cards are in that museum display next to the other trading cards.
Chris, that's
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I was like, I wonder if they
had to feel pretty good.
Yeah, I was like, oh, look at that. It's pretty cool.
You're famous.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. It's pretty fun.
That's got to make you feel
good.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, you're part of Goonies history
now. It's there.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I started doing fan art where I made my own Goonies comic where they went back to Egypt and stuff, and they used some of the money that they still had a little bit of money left over, and so they all took a vacation to go together, and they went to Egypt, and they were going to find a lost temple there, and so I started drawing that.
Man.
Yeah, Goonies is it's a big part of
it. You really like this movie.
I do. Yeah. Yeah.
I can tell.
I do.
It's a good one to like focus on. I mean, it's so great.
If you go to if you go to my Flickr page, I have a Goonies album that's probably got like 30 Goonies drawings on there.
Oh, wow.
Where can you find this Flickr page?
It is flickr.com/Tupa.
There you go.
It's cool. The town that it's filmed in is just a gorgeous town. The beach where they have the Fratellis drive their Jeep and they join that truck race or whatever on the beach.
Yeah.
I've been there. It's gorgeous.
Huh?
It's funny because when we first went there, we wanted to go to that beach where it's got that big rock. It's called Haystack Rock. It's pretty famous. And that's where that scene takes place. I'm like, man, it'd be really cool to go there. So we drove over there and you basically got your beach and then you've got a whole like row of houses and beach houses, hotels, stuff like that. And then you've got like the forest and we couldn't find a good place to park and we didn't know where you can park and not get in trouble. And we found this, visitor center and we're like, hey, where can we park? How do we get to the beach or whatever? And they're like, really the best place is to park right here. And then there's a access point between this hotel and that hotel and you can get to the beach. And I'm like, oh man, that's cool. Okay. And I'm like, man, I really wish we could walk onto the beach where that Jeep drives on. You know, that'd be awesome. And yep. And so we start walking, and we go, okay, here's where they told us. This is where the only place you can get to the beach. And we walk, and it's that spot.
Wow.
And we walked out, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the scene from the movie. It looks just like the movie.
There's a moment for you.
Yeah,
no
it's,
kidding.
It's pretty
the cool. only thing I can identify you with is living in D.C. and going up and down the Exorcist steps. That's it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's the only thing. But I can imagine what that's got to feel. It's like being in a well, not just like a set of the movie, but.
Yeah, you're in the movie, sort of.
Yeah.
Kind of. Not really, but you're there.
Well, not just. It's like when you go to, for me, it was King's Dominion, but like you go to a theme park.
Sure.
It's got to have that type of feeling where you just like all of a sudden you just feel adventurous.
Yeah.
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 I love that.
Very cool.
They should make a Goonies ride somewhere.
That'd be awesome.
There's an Exorcist ride. You just fall down the steps.
That's fun.
That's funny. It's free.
Did they spin your head around at the very end?
No, you have to do that yourself.
You got
to
land just right.
If you manage it halfway down,
super fan. Well, so anything else y'all want to mention about the Goonies?
I am definitely looking forward to seeing it again, actually pretty soon. I might watch it again within the next couple of weeks now that we've talked about it.
Yeah.
I've mastered my truffle shuffle. I can show you too. I've been working on that.
I want to say one thing. The whole Rube Goldberg contraption for their opening the gate. Was that all set up still or not?
No.
Oh, that's too bad. No, I love that part.
They took that down right away. Yeah, that's the funny that's part of the movie because every time I watch it, I'm like, what a pain in the butt. You got to set all that up. You got to
every time.
You got to blow up another balloon.
But you know, and then there were all those traps too that were kind of ingenious like that. Whoever was doing all that stuff was pretty creative.
Yeah, definitely.
With that kind of thing.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us on this awesome episode. Thanks Mark and Kevin for joining me again. I had a super fun time as always. Hey, where can the audience find more about you guys?
You can find me on markalley.com. I blog there and you can find a link there to buy my book. which is called I Was Geeky When Geeky Wasn't Cool. I also write a board game column about cooperative board games at a video game website devoted to cooperative video games. It's called cooptimist.com, co-optimist.com.
And if you're going to markalley.com, how do you spell the alley correctly?
Oh, that's markalley.com.
Awesome.
Cool. Thanks, Kevin.
No problem, because I typed in the A-L-L-E-Y. Sorry.
Yep.
And I know the difference, and I still did it wrong. And I'm there now, ladies and gentlemen, and this is awesome. Everything is nicely set up. Everything is easy to find, and your archives are nicely set up on the side there, too.
Well, thank you. Thank
sure.
you. Yeah, I put a few, I've written quite a bit in the past couple months, I guess.
And it's Co-Optimist site, too, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's not, I just contribute there, but.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
There's still some really good stuff there. Some really great stuff.
Yeah, it is. And what is this, the learning DM down at the bottom?
That I actually write about Dungeons and Dragons from time to time.
Awesome.
And I don't write it there as often as I used to, but it's thelearningdm.com. And it's basically like my tips on being a better dungeon master when you run your Dungeons and Dragons game.
And then you also talk about, I'm sorry, I'm selling you like crazy. You got Simon right here. You've got Perfection.
Oh, yeah.
You got everything on here. This is pretty
basically,
cool.
Yeah, that's basically the latest post that the Learning DM is. I basically needed something to do to put a cool prop on my table the last time we ran a game. And I just needed something really fast to be like a puzzle. And so I saw Perfection on my game shelf, and I was like, yeah, we could do that. So they came across basically Perfection in the dungeon, the last puzzle before they needed to get to the last room.
Oh, nice.
And I just had the rogue just do a Perfection game, and I don't know. It worked out pretty well, but you could do all sorts of other cool stuff on the table
very
like that
cool.
as well.
Well, you can find all my junk at www.zerbinator.wordpress.com.
I don't think it's junk.
It's awesome.
Oh, well, thank you.
You have so many podcasts, it's hard to keep up with all of them.
He's got a lot.
On the site, if I can sit here and brag, may I brag?
Go for it.
Do
all
it.
Right. Let me count. On the site, there are a total of 17 now. 15.
Did you say 17?
15 of them. 17.
Oh, dang. I do have some catching up to do.
Yeah, that's right. There's probably, I would say, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 that I'm currently doing. Well, 9 if you include Spiderwebs, which I would love to kick off again for October. I do have some ideas written down for stories, but I'm going to try them free form because I just don't have the time to sit and write them out.
Yeah.
So it's mostly a basic idea. And then I'm going to Tarantino it with the ending first and then go backwards. So it makes sense. That's the only way I can figure how to do it. So, that's what's going on now.
Wow. You're a podcasting machine.
I have plenty of time. My job allows it. Thank God.
That's awesome.
So, because I work at night driving, and then on the days that I'm not driving at night from 6 p.m. until whatever, I only work from 11 a.m. until about 4 p.m. And so that's plenty of time in the morning to record something, or plenty of time in the afternoon to record something.
Yeah.
And but the most favorite podcast I love the most, if I have to sell any of them, it'll have to be Please Stand By. That's my favorite right now.
That's a very well done show.
Thanks. And I love doing that. And Ferg is what makes it wonderful. Just love recording with Ferg because, you know, he makes me laugh really hard, and he laughs very hard, and when he laughs, then I laugh.
Yeah,
that's it.
It's contagious.
Yeah, it's very infectious.
Yep.
It's awesome.
And he's incredibly brilliant, and his improvisation, the way he can improv is mind-bending to me, because he feeds something, and then that's what makes it worse but better. But, you know, makes me go further than I probably should, and that I love
nice
very much. So I'm very, very thankful for Ferg. And that's it.
Awesome. And my stuff's at ctupa.com, and you can find everything there. So
it's a great site.
He's got some good. He's got. He might have some Goonie stuff on Flickr.
Yeah, there might be one or two. Oh gosh. On but yeah, man. Thanks again, guys, for coming on the show.
Appreciate you having me on.
I had so much fun. I could sit here and talk to you guys all night.
It was fun. Me too. It was a good evening.
Yeah, thank you both very much. Had a really, really good time.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, listeners. Appreciate you checking out TupaCast. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to TupaCast. TupaCast can be found on iTunes or at ctupa.com/TupaCast. Christopher will create original art relating to each podcast that will be for sale on the website. Proceeds from the sale of art will go to help pay for the hosting fees. If you have a topic idea for a podcast or would like to be a guest on TupaCast, email tupacastpodcast@gmail.com. Feedback and comments are also welcomed at iTunes and via email. We hope you have enjoyed listening to TupaCast. Bye!
Power to the people, man.
TupaCast.
That's a good thing, right?
What?
Click, click, click!
I want my tater tot! I want my tater tot!
Yeah! Time to say goodnight, bro. Tater tot, tater tot.